Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Man on Twitter brought this to our attention, Luis. And it was about Jose Ramirez. Now, I got to tell you, I did not go straight to the internet. I don't trust Grok. Maybe I should. I don't. I didn't go straight to the internet because the interview is in Spanish. This is Jose Ramirez on a podcast. And the interview is in Spanish. And, you know, he talks about the stuff that was written was basically that, quote, the general manager didn't do what we talked back then. They were supposed to take advantage of my discount and build a team to win. Now, this interview that he did on Eberenado, I hope I'm saying everything right. Again, I took German in high school, of all things. Really was going to help me, huh? Really should have decided. I knew Spanish was hard, and I should have taken the Spanish, and I decided to take the easy way out. I can tell you about fruit and vegetable markets in Obstin Gemüseladen. Anywho, he says this, quote, that things are going to change for the 2028 extension talks. Now, this apparently happened in March, and some people are quick to say, guys, he said this in March. And I said, I don't give a damn when he said it. If he said it, which I wasn't going to go running off on the internet because I don't know what the translation is. So I didn't know yet, but apparently it seems that he did say these things or is thinking these things. I don't care if it were January last year. I don't care if it's March. I don't care if it was yesterday. I don't care if it's tomorrow. If he says it, there's a conversation that needs to be had because I have a thought about what needs to happen. I also have a very bad thought about what I think is going to happen. But I want your thoughts on that. Because he says things are going to have to change or 2028 is going to be a lot different. Now, well, 2028 is 3 years away.
It's obvious that, to me, I don't know why I agree with you. Totally doesn't matter when he said it. The fact that was even in his mind back in March, that might even be worse. Who knows? I mean, yeah, they made the playoffs, but, you know, they had to move heaven and earth to get there. It was an awesome end of the regular season. And then the playoffs still, he probably felt like helpless because he could barely see any pitches because the lineup was so bad. I know it's a bunch of youngsters now and it's the lineup we wanted them to have by the end of the year and there's reason for promise next year, but they still don't have any bats they can depend on after Jose and Kwan.
Depend on Kwan?
Yeah, right. So you need so much more. They need so much more. They need proven bats, and you have to pay for them.
I would still
That's
say
how it works.
I would still say yes about Kwan, but it's certainly not like what you see with Jose.
Yeah. So my only question is, did they? I never thought in all of the conversations when he took the discount, I never thought that they actually told him they were going to go on some spending spree. I just thought Jose really liked it here.
He's under the impression that they did.
Yeah, that surprises me because...
Or he was under the impression that that was part of the deal.
Yeah, that surprised me. And
by the way, to what I'm reading,
if you were
going to
say, oh, well, yeah, but we're going to lose our local TV deal and that's going to cost us $50 to $55 million a year, I don't think Jose would be like, oh, okay, I understand. So you guys are off the hook. No, he'd be like, that's not my problem. It's not my problem the local TV deal dried up.
No.
So that's really bad if they lied to him. I never thought that they would have lied to him. I just thought Jose really, really liked it here, was very comfortable here,
no,
and just never wanted to leave.
He would seem...
So maybe I took it for granted, too.
Because, like, my buddy Justin Latta, who does this for a living, you know, does Guardians for a living, he's like, well, I didn't think that anything he said came back, because he ran the translation of it. He said, I didn't think anything came back that seemed to be alarming. 2028... is 3 years away. In 2028, he will be 36 years old. Now, my thought of it would be, is that is a team like the Guardians. Now, this is going to be, a lot of things can happen here over the next 3 years. You know, after next year, you're probably going to have yourself a bona fide work stoppage, and we're going to have ourselves a bona fide conversation about that. But if he's going to be 36 years old, I struggle to say this because things like this get picked up on the internet and then I get ripped till kingdom come. I don't advocate for this. I want this to be abundantly clear. I don't advocate for this. I want him to finish his career as a Cleveland Guardian because he means the world to the city. He is beloved here. He is a legend here. Dare I say an icon here in our city. He will have a statue someday. But what has been the history of this team that tells me that when they get to 2028, say, there's some things that may change. Maybe we'll have a cap and a floor. Maybe we'll have better revenue sharing. Maybe we'll have a different television deal. There's a lot of things up in the air. But say things stay kind of the status quo, as they've stayed for a very long time, basically since Curt Flood. If things stay the way they are, and Paul Dolan is still the owner, does this team ever bat an eye? Or are they going to go, we're not going to pay 36 years old?
Right. Yeah, they're not. They wouldn't.
And honestly, like, this is a team that looks at everything. Like, Albert Bell has come back. Bygones have been bygones with a lot of players. Jim Thome came back. Hell, they gave him a statue. And everybody seems to be kumbaya with Jim Thome. Now, he played here again. Certainly, I think it goes without saying everybody loves Kenny Lofton. Kenny Lofton came back twice. I think Kenny Lofton's a Hall of Famer. I think, where does Manny stand in the city? You know, Manny's a guy who left for money, but then immediately he's like, I'd rather be in Cleveland. Like, you know, Manny was Manny. But I think that Manny's well-liked by most individuals in the city. Maybe I'm wrong by that. Jose's of a different legend here. CC Sabathia is well-liked here. Jose stands above them all, I think, with the fan base. Especially in today's baseball where he said, I'm going to take a $100 million haircut and I'll go ahead and play. But if he's talking about these things and in the way that fans talk about them, if he is indeed saying this, which, again, if I put it through a translator, I'm not sure. I don't know Spanish. But if he's saying these things, which is something that a lot of fans have thought and it's been talked about since March or it's been shown since March, not a lot has changed. And he's saying the thing that a lot of us think of. Going, are they going to pay him? Are they going to finish things? Because I think at 36, Jose's role kind of changes to more power, doubles, maybe not stealing bases as much. Some of the other guys have to be around him. And I think obviously he would still be a help to somebody at 36, but is he going to be the same type of player who can basically at times carry an offense the way he does and has done over the last several years and still does at 33 years old? Because there's been times where it's basically been, and part of the reason they came back into this, you have to admit, I mean, a 15 and a half game deficit that they came back and got it, there were nights that Jose was the only threat. 8 spots and then Jose. And so that's a big, big way in a game that's very hard to do to carry a baseball team the way that he has. That's why he's a legend here. And it's still the threat of, boy, if you were to let him go and you're still the ownership group there, I really don't care who owns the team. If you let him go, that is not going to sit well with fans in this city. They will go with him.
So even if he's like, even if he ends up being really bad.
If he ends up being really bad, we'll have that talk. But I just don't think, like, yes, your numbers as you get older will dip at a time. But I don't think he's going to have like a Keith Hernandez fall off or anything of that nature. I think that probably, naturally, his numbers will start to slip because he will have to change his role within the offense.
Yeah, boy, some guys hang around forever. Do you know Omar Vizquel, his last year in Cleveland, he was 37. And then he went to play on 9 more years after that. So, Jim Thome, that last year that Jim Thome was in Cleveland, he was 40. And then he played 2 more years.
Because he could always be hitting for power. Now, Jose
will not be hitting for power.
Jose will end up with over 300 home runs easily. I think he's at 270 now or 280, somewhere in there. He'll end up with over 300 home runs easily in his career. He's been in the home run derby before, but I wouldn't consider him a power hitter, quote unquote.
Okay, I'll put it this way. I think it's something that today you're sounding the alarms on, and you're painting a picture that looking at it today, I would agree. The notion of moving on from Jose Ramirez at the end, would be disgusting. I think when we get there at that time, if he's not remotely the same player, I don't think people will care as much.
I think people will care still. I think
they want. So what would they want? They want him starting, using up a ninth of the salary.
No. Are they still? Well, I think
like,
by that time,
he may. I don't think they would.
But he may understand that maybe if his role changes and he's still pretty good, maybe he understands and just wants to stay here. Like, there's a lot of things that can happen. I'm not trying to
alert. You're asking him to take a big hometown discount again.
No, I'm not doing that. Maybe the market is what the market is. But if he were to go out and say that a team was willing to offer him $20 million more than what the Guardians offer, I think the fans would probably be understanding with that.
I actually think it's a more interesting conversation if, like, say the Blitzers actually do buy the team and it's on them. It's their decision.
I think it is more interesting there. Because I think the fans in so many ways look for excuses to go away from the Dolans. Jose would not be an excuse. He'd be a reason. Big differences there. With Jose, Jose is a different animal as opposed to a lot of other players, man. There's a lot of, like, Myles Garrett's done a lot of great things on the football field. There still seems to be a lot of fans who are arm's length with Miles. And I think in pro sports now, more than ever, I think that there's a lot of fan, like a lot of players who are really good, they're still arm's length. He is beloved here. So you got to be careful of that. And it's not where I'm trying to warn the fans. The fans know. This is just the latest and something that we probably talked about in March, and here we are talking about again. I don't think it's a warn to the fans. I think it's to the team. I think it's to the owner. That he is the guy that I think a lot of people would use as a rallying cry against you. Now, if it were the Blitzers doing it, because you and I have been steadfast going, he may make a splash, and then I think he's going to operate this team as a business. If the Blitzers doing it, well, I would have no idea when David Blitzer would sell the baseball team. So you're going to be pounding that drum for a very long period of time. You think you just got rid of Paul Dolan. Here's this other person that you have to deal with. So that's going to set baseball in a lot of ways back. And damn it, like, that's why it makes this coming next winter that much more important. You got to get something that's going to be more equitable for teams, because people watch the NBA. They like the NBA. Cavs fans have something to cheer for. They know that their team has a chance. It's a good team with good people in charge of it. The Browns, if they could ever get their heads out of the clouds, they got the money. It's got the revenue share that it can do it. You feel that you can get it turned around very quickly. Baseball is a sport that there are a lot of organizations that offer absolutely zero hope to their fan bases. And so you just like baseball because you like baseball. And I think Jose Ramirez and his legend has kept a lot of the casual fans around. Those casual fans spend money on tickets. If you lose them, that's a problem.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
The Jose interview that was from March resurfaced the other day. And again, I was terrified to talk about it because I don't know Spanish. And it was all in Spanish, the interview. And I took German in high school because that was going to help me. It was going to help me, friend. I can't believe it. I should have tried to take Spanish. What did you take?
I did Spanish and Latin.
What did you take? You took Latin?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a fun class. It's actually a lot of fun.
Oh.
And we came downtown to look at the architecture and the influence.
Were you thinking about
being Roman and Greek influence? The curlicues, the Corinthian columns. A lot of it downtown Cleveland,
Ohio. Damn, hell, are you serious?
Who wants to come on a trip with me?
Oh, Lyman knows a lot about downtown Cleveland. What do you got? What did you do?
Cherokee.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Really?
And then I didn't have to take anything else.
The look on Owen's face, like, I can't wait to see Ken's face when I tell him what language I took.
That's I don't know any awesome. Of it. It was great. I mean, I learned a lot. It's Oklahoma. You learn a
yeah.
lot.
In yeah, imagine.
Oklahoma yeah. history class, and then you go do that. Yeah.
That is so pretty cool. That is so cool. I thought I would take the like the easiest one I could. And we had Mrs. Newley as our German teacher. She taught German and I think French. And she was a nice lady.
Since we get a player named Rupert von Brauer and he talks to the media.
I'm your guy. Yeah. I'm your guy. It's going to be great. She gave us, me and my friend Jeremy, detention once. And my head coach found out we had to run 13 100-yard sprints the next day. It was awful.
Oof.
It was absolutely awful. Anywho, the reason why, I don't know where I went on. Oh, yeah, the Jose Ramirez interview. So, you know, he had said, you know, the time's ticking. I took this discount, so you guys go out and get players. You haven't got players. Now, that was back in March. But, you know, honestly, the timing doesn't really change because none of that happened. And here we are. And I mean, you could talk about some of the young guys. But I said that we might have seen our very last game of Stephen Kwan with the Cleveland Guardians. And nobody went crazy on me for saying that when I came on with you guys last Friday, right? Nobody did that. And this got brought to our attention on social media. On the back page of the first section of the Plain Dealer. This
used
is
to
the,
love the back pages.
The paper Plain Dealer.
What'd you find?
That's Scene, not the Plain Dealer. There is a paid advertisement, and it says, Cleveland is witnessing history. All caps, big, at the top, bold. And then underneath it, it says, Jose Ramirez will be remembered as the city's greatest of all time. Then in bold, Paul Dolan is wasting his career. No vision, no investment. Then in red bold, Jose deserves better. The fans deserve better. Cleveland deserves better. Either commit to winning or sell the team, Paul! Exclamation point. 76 years is long enough. It has a photo of a Progressive Field underneath. It's a full page ad. And I don't know what they paid. I don't want to speculate. I'm going, well, I mean, I just don't know if this is going to get you what you wanted out of it. We were talking about it on the air.
Well, it's
we're talking
full
about
color.
It on the air, so
hold
you got
now.
What they wanted. It's
full
color.
It's a full color ad, so you know that's not cheap. I did reach out for some estimates. The editor over at the Plain Dealer, Chris Quinn, does a great podcast, by the way. Some good media biz stuff there, some politics in there. He declined, said we do not discuss these matters. But I was like, come on. That was my response. Come on. With my hands out. But no. So he declined politely. And I sent it out to some other people because full color ad. I know it's 2025 and, you know, everything's kind of changed.
There's a difference
the landscape
between color and black and white. Yeah, I guess
oh,
so.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, you got to pay for the Cayenne.
Okay. They say never get into an argument with a publisher. Never get in an argument. You know why?
Why?
They buy... I don't even want to do it. No, I was going to do the Vince thing.
Forget it.
The estimates I was getting was roughly $1,000.
You could have helped him helped us get a bat with that. If that was what you're going to do,
so it says in there like we're letting him down. We're letting Jose Ramirez down, and that's been a prevailing thought, obviously, because he takes a hometown discount, and then you slash your payroll after the ALCS. My question is, since he came into the league in 2016, how many teams would he have been better off with?
Who, Jose?
Yeah, than the Guardians.
Explain yourself.
Well, they have the fourth most wins since he came into the league. Guardians have the fourth most wins mm-hmm. of any team. We know they've been to the playoffs more than 90% of Major League Baseball in that time. Like, where would he have been better off? Yeah, sure. Dodgers, Astros in that time, Yankees.
Those are, I mean, that's several teams right there.
But that's it. No, several. That's three. So if we're squandering Jose, how many other teams would have squandered Jose?
All right. He would have been worse off if he were with the Pirates.
Yes,
he would have been
I'd
worse off if he were with the Reds. But the teams that you're mentioning, like that's still several teams, and that's the teams that he took a discount to stay away from. Mm-hmm. So you're playing right into the hand of whoever got this advertisement, Anthony. Again, Anthony Dolan, when you're saying, he'd have been better off with the Astros. All right, well, I don't know exactly what the Astros payroll was, but I'm sure it was significant at the time.
Oh, those teams would have all loved to have. Remember, his agent, remember, Jose Ramirez's agent alone lamented the fact that he took this hometown discount the Yankees, with the Guardians.
The Yankees haven't won a World Series since 2009. Do you believe at any point in the last, how long has Jose been here? Do you believe at any point during Jose's prime that they would have punched their ticket to World Series, won a World Series?
Yeah, that's one of the
with
teams.
With Jose Ramirez. Okay, that's one of the teams. So again,
I counted three whole
but
teams.
You're just making this guy's point. So is Jose stayed away? Where would Jose have been traded
to? So since 2014, right? If he'd played with the Yankees that whole time, would he have third place or top three MVP, top three MVP, top two MVP, top four MVP, top five MVP? Like, that's not happening. He doesn't have a shot at a Hall of Fame career.
No, his teammates all would have better numbers. Like that. Yeah. That's a good point, Owen. Like, he's actually stands out more than he's on the Guardians.
No, I disagree. I think he stands out more nationally if he's playing for the Yankees.
He would get more pub, but he would not have MVP consideration. He's right. There'd be better players on his own team.
If he were in the Yankees lineup. Wait a minute. No, I don't know if he doesn't get MVP consideration there. Like, hold on for a damn second. Aaron Judge is Aaron Judge is Aaron Judge. So you're always going to have an MVP no matter what. So he could still finish third in MVP even with. But when it comes to like Hall of Fame consideration and things like that, I don't know if he were in the same lineup as Aaron Judge and before Juan Soto, but Juan Soto's not there anymore. Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, you go up into Anthony Volpe for crying out loud for didn't he who led off? I mean, you go to that lineup. You're definitely a Hall of Famer, just like you're definitely a Hall of Famer now. You probably helped them win a World Series. If you install him in those lineups.
I kind of side with Owen. I think he is getting the big-time publicity based on how he is
getting the big-time publicity.
He's led a team in a market that should not be winning.
Anthony just made an argument.
Shouldn't win.
You made an argument a couple of months ago about how he does not ever get the national recognition. Based on from regular fans, be based on where he played. That came out of your mouth a couple of months ago. Now all of a sudden he's the legend of legends in all the sport because he plays for the Guardians now?
That's not what I said. He does not get mentioned in the same vein as all the superstars in baseball.
And if he were on those teams, he would be mentioned in the same vein as all the superstars on those teams.
He would not be remotely considered like MVP like he is for carrying those teams because he'd have obviously all the help around him and those guys would have better numbers. Then if so, Owen is absolutely right.
When it
right.
comes to the public of it, who cares about second through sixth? We care about second through sixth because he's...
Now you're denigrating Jose Ramirez's resume.
No.
You know what? They should trade him. He's not respected here in Cleveland by one of the hosts.
This is the stupid thing you do.
By one of the hosts, he's not respected.
This is the stupid thing you do.
Who cares that he's third or second in MVP voting?
You're just
going to
make an ass of yourself.
Sorry, Jose.
Then forget it.
Sorry, Jose. I tried to lobby...
If you're just going
to
make an ass of everything,
I tried to get respect for you, but one of your own hosts in town... Can't even summon the energy to respect your accomplishments.
I certainly respect his accomplishments.
That's why he goes to Disney when they make the playoffs.
But I'm not going
to
sit there. Oh, okay, internet guy.
Sad.
What does that mean?
That's sad.
He doesn't care about Guards Ball.
Nope.
I'm not responding to that. When he gives his speech at Cooperstown, do they do an induction at Cooperstown?
They do it in Cooperstown.
Yeah, but did they have somebody induct him?
It's in Cooperstown.
Did we mention Miles Garrett before in the power ranking? When he gets
inducted.
That's
where the Baseball Hall of Fame is.
When he gets inducted,
they don't
are
do
they going to say.
I know that for a fact.
When he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame, do you think his place in MVP voting will ever be brought up? No. It's going to be his stats, his many-time All-Star. That's what's going to be mentioned. It's not going to be, he finished fourth in MVP voting back in 2006.
Absolutely will be added. That's why
that's
Baseball Reference has in the awards MVP placement every year.
Yeah, because it's not going to be mentioned in
comparison to your peers.
It's not going to be mentioned in the national conversation. You guys know very well.
What's his Hall of Fame case then?
It's the thing that makes him stand out
from
all the other players in Major League Baseball.
No, his ability to carry the team makes him stand out, but no one's sitting there going, I can't believe
Cares if he carries the team. They don't watch the team nationally. They only look at the stats.
So you're giving me my point against Anthony.
He's not.
They look at the awards and they look where he ranks in the MVP voting.
I am not talking
about Buster Olney. Can I tag you from here? You're giving the points for me.
I'm not talking about Buster Olney and Tim Kurkjian and those guys that you're laughing about right now because you just got me upset. You know it and I know it. The general public cares about guys on a few teams. If he were on one of those few teams, he would be a much bigger name. because he'd still be a great player. He'd still be the type of leader that he is. And all these guys who love him in baseball, where he is renowned by baseball teams and baseball players as the most respected player in the game, they would all throw that respect on him. So while there, you would see these things in the postseason every year, Ken Rosenthal would stand up there, you know, after he got done mean mugging a cameraman, and he would stand up there and he would say, Aaron Judge is the biggest star in this game. All hail Aaron Judge, or all rise Aaron Judge. But Aaron Judge says that the real leader of this team is Jose Ramirez. And then they'd do something on Jose Ramirez. And then there'd be more on Jose Ramirez. He would be unbelievably beloved by the general public if he played for one of those teams. I'm glad he doesn't. Thank God he doesn't. He plays for us. You just made my point for me.
I just got a message from a another
you
media.
You just texted yourself. Is what you did.
Media personality says Jose has become a folk hero. He's popular because he isn't
to
popular.
Us. Oh my God. Oh my. Listen to you. You're, it's like you're talking about an indie band. Mm. He's Jose Ramirez. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's popular for not being popular. He's a baseball player. This isn't the Smiths, guys. Lord. What a terrible argument you made. Mary Kay Cabot up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
As always, you can listen to this show. You can listen to all of our local shows on The Fan, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. We'll get back to the Browns here in a minute. I do want to talk about the Guardians with Chris Antonetti and Stephen Vogt scheduled to speak a little bit later this afternoon. They'll give you the postmortem on, you know, what they saw, what the way things shook out there at the end of the season. I don't know. I'm still, I said it before, so I'm going to follow through with it. I was really excited with the fact that they even just made the playoffs, so I was good with that. Am I not happy they didn't win the last game? No, I'm not happy, but you shouldn't be happy. They shouldn't be happy. Nobody should be happy that they weren't able to advance on, because, you know, if they had any kind of offense, they would have got by Detroit, but they didn't, so this is where we sit. Jeff, we didn't have any chance to talk about the Guardians over the last couple of days. You were off on Friday. Just kind of digest what you saw and where you think this team's headed.
I thought it was such a fun season and wildly, wildly entertaining, even though the baseball was entertaining. I don't think the team is entertaining. Does that make sense? I thought the way,
Yes, it does.
The situation they were in and the way they handled it was just terrific, wildly entertaining. Their team bores the snot out of me offensively.
Would you like a Kleenex?
Just drives me nuts, man. I have my fingers crossed that they might have stumbled onto some things. Could George Valera become something? Could Chase DeLauder be ready to go?
We never even touched that. Like, how great was that story?
Well, it was.
I don't even think we even talked about it very much on Friday.
It was terrible. Is what it was.
But that they didn't bring him up earlier?
No.
Oh.
It was terrible that the manager of our team, and I'm sure with front office, you know, consultation, thought the best opportunity for this team to score runs in the postseason was to bring in a guy who had never played in the major leagues. That's awful.
They had five of those guys on this team that didn't play before the season started.
I know. So I didn't expect them to compete this year. To be perfectly honest, it screams the Browns to me. It's the same type of thing because the Browns have a good defense. The Guardians have good pitching. the Browns can't score very much, and neither can the Guardians. It's a real similar situation. And my hope is they stumbled onto some things this year. You know, is Kyle Manzardo ready to get 550 at-bats? Yeah, I think so. Is he the real deal? I think so.
If you give him 550 at-bats, you'll find out, won't you?
Well, he did pretty well, and he had, you know, 27 home runs, I think it was. I like Kyle. He needs to be in the lineup every day. What are you going to do at second base? I keep thinking you didn't draft one of these power hitters, and instead you took a second baseman, and now you got a guy at second base who looks like Andrés Giménez reincarnated with a glove, and Rocchio's hitting. And I'll be honest. Bazzana better be really good, because I think Rocchio's a heck of a player, and if he can latch onto the offense, then you got something. And I wonder if Bazzana can play the outfield. Is Arias your shortstop? Is Jose happy? I think Bo Naylor's coming on. I think Bo's going to be just fine behind the plate, but he can't hit something that begins with a 1 or with a 20. I mean, get it up to 240 anyway, please. And the outfield still stinks. You got to find outfielders.
I find the Bazzana question interesting, because you got to believe he's going to start. I did have it. This is a dang moment, but I had a chance to talk to a guy who managed against him over the weekend and just said he's legit. Like, there's no question about it.
Did he say he can play the outfield?
I didn't really get into that with him. He just said he's a second baseman. So,
yeah, but you know what? By all accounts, and I can't wait to see the guy.
Then again, everybody in the organization is second baseman or shortstop, so you're good. Well,
but by all accounts, the guy's, you know, a heck of a baseball player and going to be a good major leaguer. I think you've got a really good second baseman. Do you move him to shortstop? You move Brian to shortstop and play?
Do you think they're giving up on Arias? Do you think they're going to give up on Arias?
I kind of hope so. I think Gabe Arias could end up being a really good all-around utility player. And that said, they have about 14 of those. What's Angel Martinez? Daniel Schneeman?
Okay, you got 3 right there.
I don't think Rocchio is a utility guy. I think Rocchio is an everyday starter in an infield.
I do too.
I just wonder what position it's. If he hits like he did down the stretch, he can go play shortstop. That'd be great.
It'd be nice if he could hit a little bit more than down the stretch. But yeah, I agree with what you're saying.
I hope Bazzana can be the real deal.
I hope Babe Naylor comes back to the team next year.
Because
during the playoffs, he looked like.
I bounced this off of Dan. Dan, should I lay out what it is I want to do this winter?
You gave it an opportunity. Now it's taking it forever to come up with an answer.
I'm trying to figure out. If it's what you said this morning, then I don't know if I feel like yelling at you.
Oh, then for sure I want to hear it. Go.
I'm going to take a big swing and not miss.
On?
The home run derby champ.
Oh, now this I'm in for. Sorry. Thought you were talking about something else.
Pete Alonso is a free agent that the Guardians can't afford.
Everyone keeps talking about that. I've heard other people say this too. Keep going.
Could you find a better person for this team right now in this lineup than one of the best power hitters in the game who happens to play first base, plays it well, and hits right-handed, and who has relatives in Northeast Ohio?
Where's relatives?
Woodridge grads.
Oh, I should have known. Woodridge.
You remember when he won the home run derby here, and his cousin pitched to him.
Oh, I do remember that. Yes, yes.
Yeah. In fact, I believe his cousin was on the show, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think we had him on the next day. That was pretty cool.
His cousin Derek.
Derek Alonso?
No.
Oh.
And I'm not sure of this. I think Pete's mom is from here. Now, can our team afford him? Absolutely not. Or can they?
We take a hometown discount then?
No, he's not taking any kind of a discount. You know what's going to happen? You know how when people need help with anything financial, they open these pages?
Tell us, Jeff. Tell us.
I'm not going to use the words GoFundMe for our campaign, but we're going to start our own. Let's make Pete Alonso a Guardian.
Ooh.
You too can donate $1 and bring Pete Alonso to Cleveland.
His mom played softball at Ohio Wesleyan University. Oh, woo.
I think she's from here, but I'm not sure. Drop him right behind Jose Ramirez in that batting order and watch Jose hit 40 bombs and drive in 120.
She was born near Lancaster,
He'll
Ohio.
He'll get fastballs, and more fastballs because Pete Alonso is going to hit him into the bleachers. The perfect guy to add to this lineup, New York Mets slugger Pete Alonso. He can live with cousin Derek. It won't cost him a dime. There, maybe there's a discount for you. Derek, if you're listening, Bulldogs all the way.
Michelle Alonso was born in Lancaster, Ohio.
That's great. Home of Ben Curtis.
And her husband Pete.
Maybe Ben can come through for us. All right, so she wasn't from Cuyahoga Falls or anything. She must have relatives somewhere.
She was from a suburb of Cuyahoga Falls, Lancaster.
Yeah. It's only 2 hours away.
Just a little farther south.
It's only 2 hours away.
This is according to the New York Post.
You know, if you zoom out far enough on a map, it's close.
You know what my goal is?
Yeah, that's true. Squeeze it together. That's a good point.
My goal is?
What's your goal?
For Menigan to get Pete Alonso on the show.
I'll see what I can do.
That's my goal.
Can they afford him?
Yeah. Dan?
Can they? Yeah.
Will they?
Different story.
Not likely. But think about it. If you dropped Pete Alonso on this baseball team, well, all of a sudden, that's a different look, Andy. Jose hits third and Pete Alonso hits fourth. You got Kyle Manzardo hitting fifth, DHing. You got the young upstart Chase DeLauder hitting sixth.
Listen to this. Yes, keep going.
You got Travis Bazan, a number one overall pick, hitting ninth. It's going to be great.
It's just like the 90s,
isn't that foolish? Pete Alonso on this team.
I'm just going to argue with you.
Let's get Pete Alonso on the Guardians. Yes. Yes. It's a silly thought. Yes. I'm blowing smoke for no apparent reason.
I don't know. Could there be
a better fit for this lineup than Pete Alonso? Derek, if you're listening out there in Bulldog country, get cousin Pete on the phone. We want him on the show. I almost sent you a LinkedIn invitation the other day, but you just said who?
You would have said who.
Ding!
All right, are you done? Are you done making your case? I like it.
Well, I like it.
I'm not going to argue with you. Anybody here does not want Pete Alonso.
I'm looking at Menigan, who forever tells me, they can spend it. They have it. They just want to spend it.
Pete Alonso. I'm sending Scott Boras an email, damn it.
Beautiful. Oh, it's Scott Boras. They're definitely not getting him.
Oh, is that who it is?
Jeff, you make the lemon squares. I'll make the chocolate chip cookies. We'll put the stand out front.
Perfect. Get it done. Hey, Scott, Pete has family here. We'll treat him great. Heck, we might even be able to talk opponents into letting cousin Derek pitch to him. Pete Alonso, a Guardian. Bring it on, baby.
We'll do 3 o'clock. Somebody like ask how him. People raise cash for prom. That's the stuff we'll do. We'll sell candy bars, flowers, cookie dough.
T-shirts?
T-shirts. And whatever we got to do.
I sold the heck out of Indian River citrus in high school to pay for a band trip.
Case in point. We've done it before. We'll do it again. They can pay for prom. We can pay for Pete Alonso.
Bingo.
All right. Are we done?
No, because it's just starting.
All right. It's just starting. Jeff Phelps' case for Pete Alonso. You heard it here first. Although I think I've heard it other places.
You haven't. You heard it from me.
You heard it from Jeff. We'll get back to that in a minute.
As you and I are not fluent in Spanish, despite 5 years of Spanish in high school
combined.
Yeah.
The best we got was Donde está la biblioteca.
I just want to know where the library is, okay, guys?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right? No one's telling me where the library is. However,
Miss Carble was my Spanish teacher.
She was
the hottest teacher in the school.
All right. People listening might actually know my Spanish teachers.
That's the difference. I can just speak this way because I'm not from here.
And let me tell you.
No one, like Miss Carble's kids aren't listening or anything like this. We're good.
Here's my take. They were teachers. and I had teachers, and they taught the classes, and that happened. And I had the teachers. That's it. Now that being said, the Jose Ramirez video, which was actually from March, where basically he accused the GM, which could be Chernetti, of telling him that they, on his hometown discount deal that he signed with the Guardians before the 2022 season, that he was told that they were going to reinvest the money in that they saved with him into the organization. And I'm going to go ahead and say that Hosey believes they didn't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he kind of alluded to. Now, again, this was March. So they had just traded Andres Jimenez, friends with. They had just moved Josh Naylor, and they replaced him with Carlos Santana and no one. Oh, Nolan Jones.
Swayze Zaccone.
Well, okay, I'm talking about from the lineup side of things.
Okay.
And I thought it was interesting that people talking about the video, well, this is from March. I don't know why we're talking about this. I actually think it does matter, because if he was frustrated in March, I don't know how Hosey isn't watching what's happening in the playoffs. And I don't know how Hosey doesn't look at the pitching staff on this team and think, if they had reinvested that money into a bat or two, we absolutely could win the World Series this year, and certainly could have won the World Series last year, or at least played in the World Series.
You know, this season didn't help the case. If you're trying to make the argument that he'll be more satisfied after this season, it didn't help the case. I bet J-Ram feels crossed in this whole ordeal.
Yes. Well, I mean,
how could you not?
If he feels lied to, then I think that could be a real concern.
Well, it's like, you know, Brady for years used to take that discount in New England. He used to be one of the lowest paid quarterbacks every single season. And was he getting a kickback on the other side of it? You tell me. Time will tell. I think it's already kind of told itself on that anyway. Yeah. But like,
it's called the Steve Ballmer plan.
When he takes that discount the way that he does, and then if he looked at it and the Patriots weren't spending the amount of money that they did, the way that, like, Kraft has spent since Brady's been gone, by the way, which up until this last season had not been plentiful. He just did it this last offseason, where they spent like $300 million in contracts. You'd be pissed. You'd be mad. Like, so, when you take the discount, the idea is that you give out the money in other ways. Jalen Brunson in New York took a massive discount, and what happened? They made a lot of deals, they made a lot of trades, and they spent a lot of money.
They also had a lot of sponsors give him money off the books.
Another guy. But still, when you take these deals, that is part of the idea. If you're going to play that game of even taking deals in secrecy in order to go ahead and help out the roster, the idea is to help out the roster.
I think the only thing I would say is, I don't know when the Guardians signed that deal, I don't know that they knew that Bally Sports was going to go away the way it did. Remember, that was I believe that was a late 2022 development. I looked this up earlier. If I'm not getting my timelines, what if they did? And I mean, I don't know too many small market teams. I'm not trying to shill for the Dolans here. That's not what this is.
Because your national deal is still worth $60 million, though, and the revenue sharing on that is...
Well, but if you lose $50 million in revenue and your ownership already doesn't spend... I'm not thinking about from the Dolans. I'm thinking from the GM side of things, who might have had one financial picture before that, and then you lose that $50 million, and the ownership's telling you a completely different thing.
Yeah, but now we're in an area where you're under $100 million, and we have it recorded on record the different ways that the Guardians can make over $100 million. If you just look at the different licensing deals, and if you look at the national contracts, and then if you look at ticket sales, we haven't got to anything else, jersey sales or anything in between. One fun fact people don't know about the national baseball agreements that they have is that the Guardians make the same money as the Yankees. It doesn't matter how many times you're on national TV, you make the same money as every other team. That has been collectively bargained. That is in everyone's deal.
Yeah,
that is what it is.
Local money is where teams make up that money.
You make more on the National. You make more on the National.
Not for the Dodgers. Not for the Yankees.
Dodgers, but for the Guardians, which is the team we're talking about right now. And so, if the Guardians was $40 million or $50 million, yes, you can account for that, sure. But I don't think it's crazy for J-Ram to say, look at what Kansas City has. Look at what even St. Louis has. Markets that are comparable to you, and they have three and four guys on their roster that are making $20+ million a year.
I mean, I think I don't. Who are the $40 million or the $20 million players on Kansas City?
I've looked it up seriously a couple days ago. It was Salvador.
Perez.
It was Bobby Witt Jr. Obviously got the $300 million deal. Was the last one Seth Lugo? I think someone obscure was making $20 million a year.
It would sound like Seth Lugo. Yeah, that does sound like something.
It was. I can pull it up for
no,
you. Really
no
quick.
Worries. I was trying to figure what players.
But then
they were.
even the Cardinals, because I looked at this as well. Cardinals had four different players that are making the same money that J-Ram's making this year.
I would also say though, the Cardinals have no NFL team or NBA team to go against. They're kind of in the situation the Guardians were, or the Indians were, in the mid-90s when football left town. Specific to that, the Kansas City one's a good point, though. What do you have there, Mac?
The third highest paid player on the Kansas City Royals is Michael Wacha, making $17.5 million.
That's what
million.
It was, Wacha. And then Luka's making an average per year of $23 million. So actually four players. Because Seth Lugo is $23 million a year. Salvador's $20 million a year. Bobby Witt Jr. is $26 million a year. Michael Walker is $17 million a year.
So here's the thing I'll say. I hope that Hosey doesn't get to a point. Because here's the thing. Hosey in the clip, and again, this is where 7 months ago matters. In the clip, he's like, well, when we renegotiate here at the end of this contract, which is what, 3 more years from this, that it's going to be a different story. He'll be 36.
Yeah, he's not going to have the same. Matter. He's not going to have the same leveraging power himself. He just
now,
won't.
If he gets to a point where he says, "You know what? I feel like this isn't working out. I love Cleveland, but I don't want to be here anymore. If you're not going to spend money, I can absolutely see that getting there. Again, if we're going into an off season where I think a lot of people have said the reporting was they're not going to add a lot to the books anyways.
I wonder if he feels swindled. I think there is a part of him that can feel justified, and there's also a part of him that I should feel like kind of you could have saw this coming, right? Like when they went in 2016 and made that run, in 2017, the Guardians spent a boatload of money. Mm-hmm. Spent $150 million. Like they spent, not like drunken sailors, but it's a considerable amount of money that they spent in 2017 and 2018. And I wonder if J-Ram just thought to himself, this is what they're going to be doing, this is how they're going to approach it. And they just obviously haven't continued on that spending rate. And so, like, part of me looks at this and says, J-Ram, you can't be surprised. But I wonder if he just hung on to what they did for 2017 and 2018 just a little too tight.
I think my bigger beef with how the Guardians have done this is they've expected the bats to save them. They did spend, and they spent some money this offseason, and they spent it predominantly in the bullpen in the rotation, plus Carlos Santana. But my problem is they haven't really... Okay, we're spend on the pitching staff, that's fine. Why don't you get creative and bring in a bat via trade where it's either a pre-arbitration bat or maybe it's a guy in a one-year rental where mm-hmm. it's not going to cost as much in terms of prospects? I think that's my frustration is the Guardians right now, or at least last offseason, have said, okay, we're not going to spend any money. We're not going to go above our budget from last year. As a matter of fact, we're going to cut the Jimenez contract out of this. And oh, by the way, we're also not going to make a trade for any more help in the offense.
Yeah.
So the only way your offense is going to get better is if everyone hits. And that's not how when you have eight prospects up at one time, you'll be lucky if two of them hit and maybe two more become utility players.
Well, so that's the sad part about this. And this is where if you just did a little bit of thinking ahead, J-Ram might have been able to see this coming. And I'm not blaming J-Ram, but this is the reality. The way the Guardians are set up right now and the influx of young talents, the timelines just don't match up to what is turning out to be the final twilight years of J-Ram's prime, essentially. Like there's a lot of really good team or a lot of really good players that you can sell in this farm system, and guys we've even seen this last year that it got brought up for even just a cup of coffee that you'd be like, all right, they're going to be cornerstones. They're going to be this, they're going to be that. But by the time they get to actually develop, J-Ram will be 36. He will be too old.
So there's two thoughts on this that I have. One, the Guardians might be one of four baseball teams across Major League Baseball that if it came, push came to shove, that I would trust them to trade Hosey and make it work in a bountiful way. So that is something that I think, maybe, I don't want to say eases my paranoia, mm-hmm. but eases my concern. Second thing, I will tell you this. Wouldn't be the worst thing for the Guardians to really check in with Hosey where he's at and just see what he needs and what his expectations are. Because if you look at there, it's so funny when people say name change, or Dolan's just cheap, this, that, and the other. The Guardians' last 2 years have been as good as their attendance has been since 16 and 17.
Yeah.
They're averaging, I want to say it's 25,500 fans per night,
mm-hmm.
No, fans or 26.
Yeah.
So I think that's because Hosey's here. I think the economic impact of Hosey Ramirez signing that contract extension, I think the number one reason why attendance fluctuates the way it does is not just because when you're a small market team, you've got a 3-year window and you got to reset really quickly, as opposed to the Dodgers, who can have a 14-year window.
Well, you have a superstar to watch every single time.
Well, yes, familiarity.
That matters so to people.
I think Hosey, even post his prime, and we're not too far off that given just the general age standards for third baseman and how production declines.
Yeah.
I think a aging Jose Ramirez at third base is still going to bring people out to the ballpark.
Yeah, I do wonder. It's interesting because I was thinking in this whole discussion, I've been thinking about Mike Trout and the Angels. And because I've been thinking about how they've wasted many parts of his prime career. And now he's just in a spot where he just gets injured and isn't very good anymore. And I'm like, how many Angels fans came out for Mike Trout this many years into it? And it's odd because I would make an argument that Guardians fans care more about J-Ram and he has more box office appeal than Mike Trout ever had to Angels fans.
Well, okay, so this is an important...
We're a better fan base, obviously, but still.
This is an important caveat. You still have to win.
Yeah.
Like, right now you're winning because of Hosey. Going forward, you might have to win in part because of Hosey, but in part because of other guys you develop around him. But as long as you're winning and Hosey's here, I think that's the exact right combo of getting people in that ballpark more than you did 5-6 years ago.
I bet Jose's been surprised. He's like, wait, I said that back in March. There was supposed to be some conversation back in March. How did this now get going for people?
Because it takes that long for AI to translate. Matt, in a car, real quick, buddy, what you got for us?
Hey, guys, real quick, with the Angels situation, first off, they're competing against, you know, the Dodgers and the Lakers, sucking up all the oxygen there, and Artie Moreno is also, basically the James Dolan of the West, so that he's just incompetent, doesn't know how to run an organization. But, you know, unfortunately, again, you know, like this is why all of us Guardians fans have been screaming, you know, from the hilltops, and I feel like we look like lunatics when we're, you know, raging about you-know-who that runs that owns the team. Because I feel like that's a faux pas to actually criticize them. It's just like they seemingly have endless money for politics every year, but when it comes to, you know, putting a team around a guy like J-Ram, you know, that's just asking too much of fans. You know, it's like attendance is up. People probably bought like the Guards TV stuff. You have playoff revenue. There is zero excuse, and I expect everyone to be hammering them if they do not do anything this offseason.
Matt, we appreciate you. I think it's interesting. I think certain Guardians fans have taken the, oh, I guess we can't talk about Dolan's thing, which, you know, I made an impassioned plea after the Guardians got bounced out of the playoffs that just wasn't the right time to have the conversation because I was ready to talk about the team and what they accomplished. I don't think there's anyone who doesn't think the Dolan should spend more.
Right.
I don't think there's anyone that's like, you know what, it's good for me. I think the point is, so much of the conversation becomes about the Dolans for certain people that they negate talking about the front office and the job they've done. They negate talking about the pitching factory. All of it is the conversation, not just the Dolans. Here's the other tricky thing. It feels like we have 1 to 3 years left with the Dolans. So there is a part where it's like, all right, maybe they're just riding this out until the contract with Blitzer kicks in. And again, I don't expect that guy to come in and spend, you know, copious amounts of money, but I think people are just ready for that change. Well, I'm like, well, I can't call for them to sell the team because it seems like they already did. We're just waiting for it to change hands.
Yeah, you're right. They're already committed to that, so it's okay. It's just I think the frustration started. Indians won the AL Central in 2018, and Dolan's cut the payroll by 14%. They won 93 games in 2019. He cut it by 17%. They won at a 93-win pace, made the playoffs in 2020, and they cut it by 42%. You know, like that does sting for people. It's okay to acknowledge that stings. But I also at this point, I don't have any answers for anyone. Like they're committed to selling the team. They're not going to be the owner forever. We just have to ride it out for a little bit longer.
So I think it's okay to acknowledge it. I don't think it should ever not be acknowledged. I think if that's the only analysis, and you don't do this, mm-hmm. even though you're more critical of the Dolans than I am outwardly. I think it's when that's the only conversation certain people can have. To me, it becomes like the name change. It becomes the, okay, what else do you think? Because if that's the only thing you think about the team, I can't live. I can't control who owns the team. Same thing with Haslam. I could come out here every day and tell you why Jimmy Haslam is the worst owner in the NFL. I don't need to. He's doing it for me. All right. Now, will it be referenced? Yes. It's not the only conversation we have about the Cleveland Browns.
Right. It's part of the story. It's not the entire story. And there's obviously a lot of context that is needed with this.
Any concern that Hosey still feels frustrated with the Guardians after this season, in case you missed it, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Back on Afternoon Drive, Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin with you. Coming up, we got Ashley Bastock. We'll talk about Kevin Stefanski's press conference. Plenty to glean from there. And who in the blue Hades will be the backup coming up this weekend? Many people feel like we are on the Bailey Zappe train. But you, and I hadn't seen it, you in Quick Hits brought up the full page ad a no-name Guardians fan took out in the Plain Dealer to basically shame Paul Dolan. And again, the headline, as you've said, Cleveland is witnessing history. Jose Ramirez will be remembered as the city's greatest of all time. Paul Dolan is wasting his career. No vision, no investment. Either commit to winning or sell the team. Paul, 76 years is long enough. What do you think the point of this is?
I think this is it's a fed up fan. I don't really understand the major point, because the major point should be, well, he's at the bottom. Sell the team. Well, he is selling the team, right? So here's where, and you know, for years I ripped on the Dolans, and I do get mad. I get mad. We had the conversation yesterday, and I went through off of winning seasons how much the percentages they dropped their payroll, and it does get me angry in those type of things. But first off, we've been doing this conversation long enough. Usually, you're not going to get much change with the ownership. We're getting that change.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it almost feels like if I yell about it, and if you're yelling about it right now, I'm never going to tell you not to. Please, I would never do that. But I would do so with the understanding that they are selling the team. Like, we're going to get what we want. Is this really just a message to Blitzer more than anything else? Or is this just a message of frustration, and so you want to be able to voice that frustration? Like, get a Twitter account. I don't know what to tell you.
This definitely looks more like a look at me, Louie move.
But then he didn't put his name on it. So it's like, who are you doing the look at me, Louie to?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. It's like, because of what you said, this could be one guy, which is how I took it. It could be a cadre of Guardians fans, which kind of how you took it. I honestly think it's a bad look for us. Like, you just made the playoffs. And by the way, 2 years ago, you were in the ALCS. And I'll continue to say what you've said, which is, although I did 2 weeks ago tell people, now's not the time to talk about the Dolans, we're removed from that. You can talk about the Dolans. But I look at this and I go, it's really like the Angels fan should be doing this with Artie Moreno for watching Mike Trout never win a playoff series in his career, never in the ALCS, never mm-hmm. in a World Series.
Never won a playoff game.
And I mean, they paid him. And by the way,
one of the best baseball players of all time. Never won a playoff game.
I will go down and saying Mike Trout is like our Mickey Mantle. Like, he was that good, that consistent before the injuries. But like, that makes sense. Not only were they, because their lack of commitment to winning was involving a lack of spending around him, lack of infrastructure in the organization.
When they did spend, they spent on weird players, like, or old Rendon. Players. Oof. Well, or old players. It was Pujols past his prime, you know? It was rolling the dice on Josh Hamilton at a time when you didn't need to be rolling the dice on Josh Hamilton. You know, it was a lot of bad decision making. They did spend, but it was a lot of bad decision making.
And in fairness, lack of continuity in the front office, lack of continuity in the GM spot or the manager spot.
I'm not going to make this about the Angels, but they had Ohtani and Trout at the same time and didn't make the playoffs.
Yes. Well, but I think my point is, we're not wasting Jose Ramirez. If Jose comes and goes and doesn't win a World Series, that's not wasting Jose. You're not. Mm-hmm. If this was Bob Nutting in Pittsburgh, that's wasting. That is consistently.
You make an argument they're wasting Paul Skeens right now.
Yes. And by the way, they've wasted countless other players, because at no point have they ever. I mean, when I'm saying investing, I'm talking about in the minor leagues. I'm talking about in your developmental infrastructure, which is how you have to play if you're going to be in a mid to small market.
The highlight of Andrew McCutchen's career is what, the three straight wild card games that he played back when it was a one card wild card game appearance, and that was it. Like, we used to call it the Clint Hurdle Invitational, because that's what it was every year. That's like the highlight.
Yeah. And so,
until we went to different teams.
I mean, the Guardians under the Dolans have had continuity, which I think has aided to the success they've had. They brought in Terry Francona, which I think was I don't think people get credit for. Terry was making some decent cash at the time. And listen, they have not spent recently, and it should be noted, the last 5 years are much worse than what they did in the teens, and certainly what did in the 2000s, where
you spent $150 million in 2017 and 2018. Yes. That's part of the problem, though, is that I think they went into the piggy bank, and we got a little taste of that. And once you get a little taste of that, I think that that does become hard for fans then to move away from it.
But I just think it's really insincere, and I think it reeks. I think it's a little pathetic to claim. To take a full ad, if you want to say it to your friends or you want to say it on Twitter, that's not pathetic. But to take a full page ad out when you were just in the playoffs to say they're wasting Jose Ramirez, that's embarrassing. Like the Yankees, Aaron Judge is yet to win a World Series. He appeared in, I think it's one World Series.
Last year.
I don't think the Yankees are wasting Aaron Judge. They're in the playoffs almost every year. There's a lot of things that have to happen for you to win a damn World Series.
Yeah, I've never looked at them as wasting Jose Ramirez, and I feel like the conversation, it obviously got amplified because of the podcast that happened back in March that now got in full display, which makes you kind of beg the question, is this almost an inside job? Is this somebody from like Jose's camp that is putting this out there? If they're trying to, whoever's trying to
get
stir
a hometown
the pot,
discount
who's ever trying
this?
To stir the pot initially, maybe he's trying to stir the pot again. It's so out of character and really in just in the sports world to have this happen. The newspaper right now in full page ads are dedicated to when Joe Flacco ultimately ends up in Cincinnati and he wants to thank the Browns fans for the few weeks of making this feel like home. Like, that's what this is reserved for. This is another level of hatred. This is another level of disdain, and it's fascinating to me is what it is.
216-474-0092. What is your take on the full page letter, full page ad in the Plain Dealer today, bashing the Dolans? I think it's classless, and I think it's pretty embarrassing considering how much team success we've actually had, even beyond just the last couple years. Three of the last 4 years you've been in the playoffs, wild card round, divisional round, ALCS. Also, do you think we're wasting Jose's career?
I also don't think it's going to change anything, too, by the way.
Yes, well, which ultimately is it's just
like if this front office has taught you anything, they just beat to their own drum. How many times have we had conversations about the Dolans not spending money or this or that? They don't care.
Yeah.
They're not going to be intimidated by that. They're not going to cave to that. They never truly cared to go ahead and make changes off of that. That's just so like doing something like this, if it makes you feel better, go for it. I would spend my money in a different way, but there are enough people, I guess, at this point in life.
I'd build like a barn dominium.
They just have so much screw you money that this is what they can do with it, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. It must be nice. I don't know. I could see a lot better ways to spend the $10,000, $15,000 it probably cost to put this out.
Now I need to know how much money it would cost.
I want to know, too. I used to think the athletes used to say it was somewhere between that range, like $10,000 to $15,000 to do this. But has the newspaper business gone up in ads on this? I don't know. Everything's digital now.
Do you think like it's a sliding scale? Like they see what it is and then they're like, all right, that's going to be an extra $5,000 because we're going to take some heat for this.
Well, like how many people... Well, I mean, this has gotten them more on what happened today in the Plain Dealer than anything else they put out in the Plain Dealer today. That's not a shot at the Plain Dealer. It's just this has been very widely discussed today. So, like, this has gotten them some attention in many ways. How many people still get the newspaper sent to their door? My father-in-law, my mother-in-law, they still get it sent to their door, but that number's got to be dwindling. So if the number's like 15 grand a few years ago, it's probably like, I don't know, 10 grand now?
Browns Buck saying, we aren't wasting Hosey, in quotations, insane. Then show your work. I can say they've been in the playoffs the last 2 years, three of the last 4 years. They were in the ALCS a year ago. I can
but
show
like
my
he was
work.
Agreeing with you there now.
No. He was saying that. No. He's saying we aren't wasting Jose Ramirez. Insane. Meaning it's insane to think. And now I got my cross-eyed because you're looking at me. Now I don't know what's happening here.
I got to see the tweet. I guess
it's on there. It's on the super chat. It's Brown Spot.
It's a super chat.
Super chat.
Did he actually pay for a super chat?
He didn't. No.
No. So they never do.
Super chat.
He's wasting the super chat.
Yeah.
If he says we aren't wasting Jose, that's him agreeing.
No. He's saying in quotations. He's quoting me saying we aren't wasting Jose.
Oh, okay. Then he's calling that insane. We got to get up on this YouTube jargon, don't we?
I think we just have to communicate better.
This is why I stay away from it.
I don't think this is super chat's fault. I don't know. I'm pretty confident that I can show. Like. My work, I think if your response is insane, great discourse, bro. Solid rebuttal. Let's go with, oh, damn it. I can't see. I still can't see anything from this damn weekend.
Not that guy. Go to Mike.
Mike in Menor. What's up, buddy?
How's it going, guys?
Not going all right. How you doing?
Not too bad. I got an idea about who that might be in the Plain Dealer.
Okay.
Paul Hoynes.
Why would Hoynes spend that much money on that?
I don't think
he gets it for free. So he needs to spend his money now on it.
Right. Why not?
I don't think anyone in the Guardians beat would be putting that out.
Like me starting a podcast and then pay Odyssey to put the podcast up. And it's like 5 hours a day. We're good.
That's what my idea is, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
Appreciate you. I think it's more likely that it would be someone in Jose's camp.
I think out of all the people in planet Earth we can rule out, Hoynes is probably the first.
Let's see what happened is.
He might be number one. It's Hoynesy, like him and Terry Pluto. No,
him, Hoynesy, Pluto, Meisel, TJ Zuppi, Ryan Lewis.
Oppenheimer.
The whole gang got together and they're like, we're gonna throw it in together so we can put this out there because we just won a championship before we die. Yes, yeah.
Our sanity,
not the local Methodist
our
church.
Sanity relies on it. Like Meisel's just like, I really need you guys to spend money on a bat. This is how I'm gonna do it.
They gathered it up after the postseason press conference.
That's true. When you were like this close to beating the Tigers.
Oh, you should have invited me to that press conference, guys. You got me to open up my pocketbook for the first time.
I would love. For one of my friends to come to me and be like, Nick, I'm furious with the Dolans. Can I get 5 large from you? Because I want to put out this ad in the paper besmirching the Dolans because I'm going to get something done. And I would laugh at them so hard. Honestly, you could do this for almost anything. You could do this for like... Okay.
But they don't. That's what makes this so interesting is that people don't do this. This is so unique to do this. And you know the person that did it thought like this is going to be my big statement. Like this is how you would get this changed. By the way, ChatGPT, for whatever it's worth, it says it costs you tens of thousands of dollars for a full page ad.
Tens of Chaser saying.
So do you think when Astrid joins us, she works for that paper? Do you think she's going to have an insight into what a full page ad at her paper costs?
Probably not.
Or is that like asking me and you what a 30-second ad here on this station
That's
costs?
That's probably what that is.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Chaser on the chat saying, Dolan put the ad out there for sympathy points, LOL. I actually think that's more likely than Paul Hoynes putting it out there. Hey, what Hoynes do to you, Mike and Menner? 216-474-0092. Do you stand with the anonymous Stan who's upset and said, sold the team Dolans? Grammar was hard there. Ashley Bastock, Cleveland.com. We'll talk about Kevin Stefanski's Shador reluctance and, of course, Stefanski's surprise on the Flacco trade in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.